name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for a day such as this that you have. You want to speak to us using me as a vessel. Father in heaven, I humble myself and hide myself behind the cross of Jesus Christ and ask, O Lord, that in your mercy, you will speak through me, that we will all be blessed, and that what we hear we will put into action to your glory and our blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank the chaplain in charge, Venerable Professor Sam Ike, and Dr. Uzo Aniebue, the church committee and the laity, for giving me this opportunity to be a vessel for the use of the Lord to all of us. And I bring the greetings of my husband, Barrister Nwabufo Obienu, who is unavailably absent, who sends his thanks and blessings to this congregation. Praise the Lord. The topic we're looking at is one that most of us already know about, and it's taken from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. I would crave your indulgence that we read 8 to 12. And it goes thus: Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this. This is the New King James Version. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Praise the Lord. Prove me in tithes and offering. What is a tithe? From the dictionary meaning as well as others, a tithe is one-tenth of one's income or produce, which was formerly paid to the church, according to the Oxford Mean Dictionary. But the Bible Concordance and Dictionary tells us that it is one-tenth of one's property or produce. What is an offering? It is a gift or contribution. The Bible defines it as a sacrifice ceremonially offered or given as part of worship, a contribution to the support of the church. What does the word prove mean? It means demonstrate that whatever you are proving is true. I would like us to look at different renditions of the word proof from the Bible. I've just read the New King James Version. Can somebody read the same from the Amplified Version of the Bible, if anybody has it here? And we're looking at your reading, Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. Can somebody read? If you have the Amplified Version of the Bible. If you don't, it says, prove me now by this. And if anybody has the New International Version of the Bible, NIV.
Let me
in this, says the Lord Almighty. And if I will not open, throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it.
The NIV says, test me in this. Prove me and see if I will not do what I have said I will do. A tithe is very important in the church. I will start by saying that a lot of people today in the new covenant say that tithing is not important. That the law, when Jesus came and finished his work, that the law became obsolete. I do not believe that is true. And I say this because all scripture has been God inspired, and it has been given to us for teaching, training, correcting, and rebuking, that we may be well positioned to do the work of God. And tithing is part of the same. We know that before Moses, tithing seemed to be voluntary. When Abraham had delivered Lot and his people who were taken away, in Genesis 14, 18 to 20, Abraham was met by Melchizedek, a priest of the Most High God, who nobody seemed to know where he came from. He wasn't of the... So that he came from was even before the time of Levi. He gave him a tithe after he had been blessed by Melchizedek. Jacob, when he was on his way away from his brother and was met by God when he was asleep, when he saw this ladder going up to heaven and heard the Lord speak to him in Genesis 28:20-22, said to God, if you do all this that you have said you will do for me, take me and bring me back alive, I will give you a tithe. But during the time of Moses, God specifically instructed Moses to tell the people to give a tithe, one tenth of what they had. At that time, the economy was farming, husbandry. So, your tithe was either from the grain, from the vine, or from the animals that you had. But these tithes were specifically for the Levites as a reward for the work that they were doing for the Lord. They were not supposed to farm or have flock, and also would be for the support of the widows, the temporary residents, and the fatherless. These tithes were expected to be collected and kept in a storehouse. And I found out that the Hebrew word for the storehouse actually means a depository or armory. And it ought to be in the place that you are spiritually fed, not just anywhere. This money, like I said, is used for the taking care of the Levites, the needy, and also to continue the fight, the good fight of faith, to continue with the expansion and establishment of the kingdom of God. Like I said, people will say that's Old Testament. After the finished work of the Lord, we're no longer under the law, but now we are under grace. I agree. But the Bible is still one. Jesus our Lord, when he came and he accosted the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, he told them that it's not just giving your tithe that is important. Tithe of what you have, the vegetables and all that. But also you should show justice, mercy, and faith as you walk with the people. The Pharisees of that time, oh, very well learned. They had the law and all that. But they were not being truthful in what they were doing. So the Lord reprimanded them and told them it's not just that. Because actually, the Lord Jesus Christ came and told us that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it.
and a lot of things that were part of the Mosaic law were explained further. It wasn't just as it was written before. Giving of a tithe in the olden days was a show of dependency on God. Acknowledging God for all that you had, as you can find in Deuteronomy 8, 18 to 20. And actually giving a token in appreciation of what he has given to you. Because we know that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Every single thing we have, everything under the heavens, under the earth, in the sea, whatever you can find it, is of the Lord. He has made them as provisions for us to bless us. And I think that showing, giving a token of appreciation is the least we can do for all the benefits that we have received at his hand. This church is full this morning. I happen to have spoken to one of my residents, and a woman who we saw on Friday, we did quite ill, all right, but not that she would die, has passed on. It is the grace of God that keeps us. The benefits we receive at his hands are numerous. Psalm 103 reminds us, forgiveness of sins, healing of our diseases, redemption from destruction, being crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies, that our needs are met, our mouths are filled with good things, so that our strength continues to be like that of the eagle. It is of the Lord's mercy. It is some of the benefits we receive at his hand. But let us go back to our text and look at the benefits that have been recorded there that we will receive as we give of our tithe. Malachi 3 verse 10 says, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. This tells us of granting abundance or on all sides. Verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. That tells us of preventing losses all around in various spheres. Verse 12 says, and all nations will call you blessed. Why? For you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. That tells me of establishment. The Lord has said he will do all this to all those who tithe. That is of the Old Testament now. It's not of the New. God is still the same. We know he is faithful. He never changes. And whatever he has promised, he will bring to pass. We know that he watches over his word to fulfill it. We thank God because he has given us this opportunity to go into another covenant with him as we tithe. Because what he says he will do, he will do. God, of course, has all sufficiency in all things. He makes this way for us to be part of what he is doing. And 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 tells us that he will make all sufficiency for us in all things, and that we will have an abundance so that we can continue in his work. What do we tithe? You would agree with me, or rather, let me put it this way. When this word was spoken to the people of Israel, they were, like I said, farmers, animal husbandry. So they gave of what they had. Today, we have at least three different spheres of our lives that we can tithe in, and they are our time, our talent, and our treasure. Our time. Nehemiah spent his time, according to the direction of God, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Bezalel, in Exodus 36 verse 1, spent his time working on the tabernacle. They also used their talents, what they could do best, to do that. Our treasure today, our salary, our income, whatever we get from anybody, is part of what the Lord has provided for us, because He touches people to do things for us. So we have what to tithe.
Okay, I now tithe, I bring it to the church. A lot of people also have these reasons for not giving. You know, if everybody in the church brings their own, there will be a lot of money in the church. The church doesn't need it. The church has enough.
And the monies that have been brought, we have been waiting for them to give us an account. They haven't given us an account. The one they gave, it wasn't correct. If you remember, so-so-so was collected. Their report did not reflect everything. Monies are not properly used. God knows I don't have any money. He knows if I had, I would bring. Yes, I don't have any. And I have so many dependents. Mbana. That which He has provided for me is to take care of those people. It is in the word of God. This is different. Because He says, bring and I will give you even more. And because He said it, we know that He will do it. Let's talk about offerings. I said it's a gift. It's the sacrifice, ceremonially giving as part of worship or contribution to the support of the church. It's given at worship as a means of worshiping. We know that Noah, when he came out of the ark in Genesis chapter 8, gave an offering. And after that, God was so pleased that He said, no more flood for destruction. I won't do that again. In Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18, can somebody please read that? Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. Hallelujah.
You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swear to your forefathers as it is today. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You give to recognize Him as your provider. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 tells us, and I will read Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Acknowledge Him, honor Him, and He will even give you more. We give offering to assist in the work of God, evangelism, outreaches, for which this church is well known, and which every other church, every other gathering of the faithful, of believers, should do. It also takes care of a need in the church or society. When the tabernacle was to be built in Exodus 35, 21 to 29, after Moses mentioned to the people, they began to give. That was an offering. And they went on giving and giving and giving. When there's a calamity, the Macedonians in Romans 15:26 gave and gave, that there will be things to give to the brethren in Jerusalem at that time. Why do we give offering? It's expected of us. Remember, in verse 10 says, you rob me in your tithes and offering. It pleases God and it also gets his attention. Solomon gave. He gave. He offered. After that, God came and talked to him. Oh, in fact, I am totally confused. I'm asking what to do. What would you want me to do for you? And we know Solomon's answer, and we know what God did for him. He asked for one thing. God gave him three things. How should we give? 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us that we should give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:5 tells us that we should prepare what we want to give. 2 Corinthians 8:12 tells us we should give willingly. We should also give believing. Because when we give believing, that which the Lord has said concerning the offering and our tithes, we will receive. And the benefits are the same as those we mentioned earlier on. This is about the Word of God. I want to tell you my own experience. I wasn't tithing a long while ago for the same reasons. My reason being that I don't have enough. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Lord will deal with those he has given jobs to do. They are not my servants. They are not my employees. He who employed them will ask them of what he has given them to do. So it doesn't concern me what they do with the money that is given. But I thought I didn't have enough. So I wasn't tithing. Then as I read the word of God, I was convicted. That mba. Look at the promises that God has already put down there for you. Why are you not availing yourself of them? Give me one good reason. And every reason I brought up fell flat. You're alive and well today. Are we kegit? Olo. Alright. Ilo aladi. Momo. Ahud everybody. Are we kegit? Olo. Okay. Some have fallen by the wayside. Some have not achieved what you have achieved. God is calling you into a closer relationship. He always calls us into covenant. Fortunately for us, what he asks for us to do in that covenant is so small compared to what he will do. The more I thought about it, the more I said to myself, Olive, Agijomwegi, he has called you severally. You don't have any excuse. So I said to God, Father in heaven, this is another way of blessing me and all those in my sphere of influence. I will begin to tithe. All the excuses and reasons I've given, you already know. Prove to me that of a truth. All I have to do is put my trust in you and you will take care. So I began to tithe. I must tell you, I stand here to declare that God is faithful in various spheres of my life. You have a need. You do not know what to do. You look in the bank account, there's nothing there. It cannot even start, it cannot even do up to one tenth of what needs to be done. You ask God, like in Psalm 20, though that was mentioned for offering, but it's the same thing, all of them prayer to God, that he remembers your sacrifice and your offering, that he remembers your faithfulness. God is never late. He shows up right on time. That challenge is taken care of and you have abundance. Praise the Lord. There has been no time that myself or my family have been in such a situation, even for us to say, let us look for somebody outside to ask for help. Mm-mm. He has taken care of them. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. I held on to him. And like James 1:22 said, I didn't just read and not do, deceiving myself. I read, I prayed, and I did. And I tell you, nobody else can take care of you like he does. Praise the Lord. Taste and see what I'm saying, that the Lord is good. Remember, he has also said in Luke 6:38, give, and it will be given unto you. You are giving in your tithe. You are giving in your offering. He said what? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Will men, who he uses, bring into your bosom. You will have enough to take care of those challenges and even more. Our God is faithful. What he says he will do, that he will do. That is why you are called Jehovah. That is why you are called Jehovah. What you say you will do, that is what you will do. That is why you are called Jehovah. That is why you are called. That is why you are called Jehovah. That is why you are called Jehovah. What you say that is why I enjoin all of us to think about it. It's not compulsory, remember? Don't do it under compulsion. Study that the Holy Spirit will minister to you, that you pay your tithe and give your offerings. The Lord is expecting us to continue his work here on earth with that which he has given to us. We ought to be ever flowing rivers, not depositories. Because if we are, and what he has given to us does not go out, you know it's possible it might cease. Because he uses us to bless those around us. That his work will continue. And that all those around us will see us as instruments for his blessing. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word that you have given to us. Lord Holy Spirit, please go forth. Where we have not spoken our right, please correct. That we may know the truth that will set us free. That you are the same God, you never change. That your word is forever settled in heaven. Because you have said you will do this to those who tithe and bring in their offerings. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ.